Merry Christmas. There you go. It's good to see you. I'm excited for our celebrations together. I want to start out today by playing a little game. You may have come across it online or at a dinner party or something like that. It's called This or That. It's really, really simple. I'm going to give you two options. It's going to be this or that. So I'm going to give you two options. I need to hear which one you would prefer. So this is not the part of the service where you need to be quiet and all that kind of stuff. This is where I need some crowd participation. I need to come back. So I'll give you, we'll start with a practice run. This or that, real tree or fake tree?
Real tree.
All right, we go real tree here, real tree at home. That's my thing, but I respect the fake tree because I understand it's less mess and you don't have to buy them every year. So that's cool. We're all a little bit different. Now, we're going to go on with the rest of the game. My beautiful wife is here with me, and I need you to be enthusiastic. For some of you who are enthusiastic enough, we have some gifts for you. So I really need you to cheer, really need you to let us know which you would pick, this or that, and if you're lucky enough, you might get one of the gifts. So here we go. If you're looking at treats, things that you like to eat at Christmas time, are you chocolate or gingerbread? Lots of chocolate. We got any gingerbread? Anybody excited about gingerbread? What do we got? Let's hear it. Let's hear it. Who's excited? Who's excited? Here we go. A little chocolate. We got a gingerbread kit. There we go. All right. That's a good start. Okay. How about holiday drinks? Are you hot apple cider people or hot chocolate people? I think I'm a cider man myself. I could go both ways. All right. How about Christmas movies? So some of the classic ones you watch every year. How about Polar Express or Elf? Elf is popular. People are loving the Elf. Okay, we got to keep hearing it. Who wants what? I love it. All right. Hopefully Santa brings you a DVD player from 2010 so you can watch them. All right, what about gifts? Are you more cash people or gift card people? All right, it's almost Christmas, so I'm out of cash, but we have a gift card there. Sorry, I don't have any cash. I'm paying off Christmas, so we got a little gift card there. Glad for you to join in. Listen, tonight I want to talk a little bit about the why of Christmas. We read a little bit about the Christmas story. We talk about the birth of Jesus, that God sent his son into this world. And as we read through that story in many of the Gospels, Matthew and Luke specifically give us a lot of details about kind of the how it happened and the details surrounding the birth of Jesus. I want to take just a few minutes to talk about the why of Christmas. Why is it that Jesus was born? Why is it that God sent his son? Why is it that we celebrate Christmas? Why should we get excited? And one of the gospel writers that actually talks about that the most philosophical way is in the book of John, and I'm going to read a few verses for you. And I believe that in the Christmas story, as John puts it, there is a big this or that moment. And for all of us, we have the opportunity this Christmas to engage in the this or that when we think about how we're going to live, how we're going to think, how we're going to feel, and how we're going to experience the presence of God in our lives. So John chapter 1 says this: in the beginning was the Word. It's talking about Jesus, the Word. This is the intention of God. If you wanted to know, what is God like? What would God speak into this world? We have the introduction here. It would be Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. And then, man, catch this incredible, incredible verse. This is a life-changing verse, if it's true. It says, in him, in Jesus, was life. And that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Just allow yourself to get sucked into the emotion of that a little bit. That idea of a light coming on in the darkness. The darkness might be a place where you're confused, a place where you're sad, depressed, anxious, a place where you don't know where you're gonna, how you're gonna move forward and what you're gonna do, how you're gonna make decisions in life. It's a place of injustice. It's a place of chaos. It's a place of hurt and pain that we have all experienced at one point or another. And our world experiences darkness. We just know that to be true. But at Christmas, we celebrate that a light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. The darkness will not be strong enough to snuff out the light. The light will shine and take over. And so in Jesus was life, and it's that life that was the light of the world. Now, this was originally a text written in Greek a couple thousand years ago, and when it talks about life, when it says life, there's a couple of different Greek words for life, a few different options. Sometimes we think of life in the sense of just breathing and our heart beating, our physical life that we have, that we're actually alive biologically, but that's not the word that's used here. The word here that is used for life, it means an extraordinary life to the full, centered in an interactive relationship with God. In other words, the life that Jesus brings is one that is of deep spiritual significance. It's one that wells up in joy and in peace. It's the kind of life that all of us want, a real deep spiritual existence. What would that be like if we experienced that kind of life? It would be a life filled with truth and integrity, peace and joy. It would be restful, but also quietly powerful. It would be meaningful, and it would be fulfilling. It would be the kind of life that all of us would say, way deep down, that's what I desire. It's the kind of thing that when you hear about that kind of life, you say, man, could I live a life to the full, like the best possible life that I could live? You just ask yourself, how would I get that? How do I achieve that? How do I get there? Some of us have spent years and years, our entire lives, trying to figure out, how do I experience that kind of life, the life that the claim here is, it's found in Jesus. And Jesus taught a little bit about that. Taught a lot about it through the book of John, but there's this really great verse that stuck out to me in John chapter 6, a bunch of chapters later. And Jesus said it this way. He said, the spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing, or the flesh is useless. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the spirit and life. If you want to experience life, life to the full, life full of joy and peace and meaning and purpose, then it's going to come from spirit. And then he says, the flesh counts for nothing. This is our this or that moment. What are we going to stake our life on? How are we going to proceed? What are we going to give ourselves to? What are we going to really build on in our lives? Spirit or flesh? Now, flesh, again, we might think of flesh, if you hear that word, as your skin, your muscles, kind of your physicality. And that's true. That's one thing that flesh can mean. But here, it means so much more. Flesh means anything that is temporary and that could be lost or corrupted or decaying. So when we're talking about flesh, we're not actually talking about bad things. We're just talking about things that if you want a real permanent, lasting, fulfilling joy or peace or purpose in your life, these are things, they're not bad, but they can't achieve that. They're not powerful enough to do that. So this is why at Christmas time, we have Ebenezer Scrooge. Right? He's the epitome of it. He's wealthy. He's successful in business. He's built a name for himself. He's done all the things and checked off all the goals in his life. He finally made it. But none of us want to be Scrooge. We all inherently know that you don't want to go where Scrooge was, especially at the beginning of that movie, because he finds out that he's empty. He finds out that his relationships are all broken. He finds out that he's concentrated on the things in life that can't actually bring him joy and peace. And so he turns around. It's also why we have the Grinch, because the Grinch believes that if I steal all the decorations and all the presents and all the food, then the Whos won't be happy anymore, because these are the things that make you happy. And so he steals all of Christmas and then finds out that you can't steal Christmas. You can't buy Christmas in a box, that they still sing and they're joyful and they're peaceful. And he's looking at them and going, what's wrong with these people? And none of us want to be the Grinch at the beginning of the movie either. We know that's not true. These are kind of the fleshly things of our lives. here's a few categories, and there could be a long list of things that we might really connect with in our lives when it comes to the flesh. Well, what are the things that are tempting? Because we don't want to be Scrooge, and we don't want to be the Grinch, but I think a lot of us, when we get into our daily routines, we find rhythms that sort of get us caught in pursuing these kinds of things. So there are things like what you have accomplished. The great things I've done, my deeds, the things that give me a name. Maybe it's a list of stuff that make you feel important. And again, they're probably not bad things that you set out to do. But if that's where you're trying to get your self-worth and confidence from, if that's where you think real meaning in life is, it's going to bring joy and peace, ultimately it won't. It's things like how much you have, how much you make, what your paycheck is, what neighborhood you live in, what kind of car you drive. And it's things like what other people think of you, what your reputation is, whether or not you're popular, how many likes you get, whether people agree with you, whether you feel like they're behind you and approve of everything that you do. Again, usually good things, they're just not strong enough or reliable enough to build your identity on, because even if you accomplish a lot of things, you can fail. Even if you make a lot of money, you can lose it. It can be stolen. You can make a bad investment. Even if you think things are going really well in your relationships around you, people could disagree with you or disapprove of you, or you could fall out of favor with them. And so we look at this, and we got to just be honest to say, we all know we're not supposed to be Scrooge. We're not supposed to be the Grinch. But life has a way of drawing us in, because aren't these things a little bit deceptive? They sort of call out to us and say, yeah, but if you have a little bit more money and a few more followers and a few more accomplishments and letters behind your name and things that you can brag about, and we sort of start to believe it a little bit, don't we? And we actually start to put a lot of time and energy to building our lives around things like this. But Jesus says the Spirit gives life and the flesh is useless. The flesh just doesn't have the power that we think it does to do what we want it to do. So back in John chapter 1, here's the rest of that description of Jesus coming into the world. Verse 9, it says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Oh, this is incredible. He says Jesus has come, and for those who believe in him, which means those who trust in him, so those who trust that real, true life comes as we follow Jesus and as we pattern our lives after him, our rhythms after him, as we trust him with our entire lives, he gives us the right to become children of God. That is, you are not the person that your accomplishments say that you are, or your failures. You are not the person that your amount of wealth says that you are or aren't. You are not what other people think that you are. The invitation for those who trust in Jesus is that you become the children of God, that God loves you so much, that his message to you is, I would come across the universe to you, right into your life to tell you that I am your Father and you are my children, and that's what you're worth. You're worth what every child is to their parents. To be children, sons and daughters of Almighty God. The flesh is useless, but the Spirit gives life. The Spirit, our spirit, is the real, true you. It's your most true self. I'm going to say, who am I really? If I'm not my accomplishments, if I'm not the amount of money or what other people think I am, if those are things that might even distort who I am, who really am I? Who are you and who am I? Our spirit is our most true self. And so Jesus teaches that the flesh is useless, means nothing. It's not bad, just doesn't have enough power to make you who you are. But Spirit gives life. God's Spirit gives life. We find real, true life when His Spirit touches our spirit. When we trust in Him and we become children of God, when we live out of the identity that we are created, that we are loved, that we are cared for, that we were created to love other people, when that becomes the core of who we are because we trust Jesus so much, we are children of God, born again into a new existence, a spiritual existence that reminds us and always brings us back to who we really are, children of God. Deep within us, the most true part of ourself, our spirit, connected with the Spirit of God to be born again. And so here is the message of Jesus' birth, of His coming and living and dying for the world. You see it in verse 14, the Word became flesh. Remember, we talked about flesh and we said, well, it's useless. It just doesn't have enough. And so we have this really amazing statement that things that are so ordinary, just our fleshly lives, our regular, ordinary lives, have been infused with the presence of God. The One who is holy came to that which is ordinary so that those of us who are ordinary could become sacred, so that we could have the presence of God living inside of us, so that we could be His, so that we could reconnect with our own spirit as it touches God's spirit and live out of our true selves. What is so amazing, the Word became flesh, God's Spirit coming into and animating and giving real meaning and purpose to all the things that we do, because now they are places and we are people who all have the potential and opportunity to be sacred place, sacred space, where the Spirit of God can be infused. And now when we go to work and when we deal with our finances, and when we live out our marriages and our relationships and our friendships, when we interact with the world, we do so in a way that is spirit-filled and meaningful and purpose and deep, deep, real life. Amazing that the Word would become flesh, and at Christmas we celebrate that God wants to invade your life the way that Jesus has invaded the world. There is nothing so ordinary that it cannot be infused with the divine presence, and that starts with us. That starts with the people that God loves so much. Jesus has offered us that, I think, through two primary ways. And there's a lot of things we could talk about, but today just hit two really big things. Jesus, He gives us a new life through the forgiveness of sin. This is the great offer that Jesus puts out there, that He would forgive our sin, that He would go to the extent to die for our sin, to show us what it looks like to live a sinless life, and to give us a new start. Sin being the things, the ways that we've tried to live our lives in the flesh, outside of the Spirit, in ways that just would never work. They're the things that bring pain to our lives and to other people. They're the things that take us away from God instead of bringing us closer to Him. Jesus says, I can deal with all that. I offer you forgiveness and a new life. And then He offers us a new way to live. He teaches us and He shows us how to bring out the presence of God in our lives, how to live those lives that are restful but also powerful. How not to worry, but instead trust that God has what's best for us. It's a life filled with wisdom and joy and peace and hope, and it is a life that is ultimately governed by the ethic of love, loving God with all that you have and loving your neighbor as you love yourself, the way that Jesus taught us. This is your true self. It's our true self when we get back to this, the Spirit that God created us to be, and having His Spirit touch ours and infuse our lives with His presence. Amazing that the Word would become flesh and live amongst us, take up residence in our lives. It means that if the message of Christmas is true, nothing is ordinary. Everything has the potential to be filled with the sacred presence of God, and we have the opportunity to welcome God's divine presence into our everyday lives, in every decision, in every thought, in every feeling, in every relationship. And so I want to close today with something that is probably the most powerful thing that stuck with me this year in 2019 that I read. And I shared this, for those of you who are here on Sundays a couple of months ago, something that I read from a guy named Henry Nouwen. Henry Nouwen was a guy who in his field, he just rose up academically to the top of everything. He had appointments to teach at the best universities in the world, Ivy League schools that were hiring him. His books in his field were well known and well read and well quoted by the people who were respected most. And he came to a point in his life where he decided to give all that up, and he went to work for the rest of his life with adults who had disabilities and living with them in community, serving them, caring for them, because he believed that in that he found a more deep, true, fulfilling, purposeful, and joyful life and experience. Even though most people say, how'd you give up all of that? You know, you could have made good money and people would have followed you and you did so much. And he just went to this place. And this is something that he wrote, and it's sort of a mantra or something you can repeat and tell yourself. And I think from what we've talked about today and the message of Christmas, it's a powerful one that maybe will help you just remind you of who you really are and where life really comes from, and to celebrate that. It's something my wife and I have started to repeat with our kids on a regular basis. And as I started to do that, I realized after a while, it might be a lot more for me than it is for my kids. The Christmas message, in my mind, affirms these things. I'm not what I do. I'm not what I have. I'm not what people say about me. I am the beloved of God. It's who I am. No one can take it from me. I don't have to worry. I don't have to hurry. I can trust my friend Jesus and share his love with the world. And I hope this Christmas, as you reflect on a God who loves you so much, that he would step into the flesh, the ordinary things of this world, to give us the opportunity of real, deep spiritual life. It would well up in you with great joy and peace as you celebrate. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for this great message. Thank you for your love, that you've loved us so much, that you would send your Son to teach us, to love us, to care for us, and even to die for us. Thank you that you forgive us and you offer us real, true, satisfying life. Today, God, I pray for those who might not be feeling any of those things, for whom Christmas might be a really difficult time. I pray that you'd fill them up with your presence here in community and as they go out. God, would you lead us to a place where we know this kind of life more and more and more. And God, may your light shine not only in our lives as individuals, but all throughout the world. It's in Christ's wonderful name we pray. Amen.